Good morning. A day of sitting, our Zazen Kai. We had three strong periods of sitting. Maybe enough to settle us in, to allow our minds to stop flitting from one thing to the next. To stop. I know I came in today, as I have in the last few days, filled with a lot of anger. The news of the day. A lot of rhetoric inside me that I'm creating. I need this day of sitting still, which is not bypassing, but it is a restorative act. It is our form of prayer. It's the way the people in Charleston pray their way when they offer forgiveness. And this is our way. So that we can be strong and have some equanimity, some sense of compassion, and so that we can be strong to act appropriately and not react blindly. So this is our way to do that. Perhaps you've sat enough today to avoid that temptation, to avoid grabbing on to each distracting thought, however petty or profound, to resist following down some old pathway, some old road that we've been down before many times. We almost don't have to think about the thinking we're doing because we know the territory really well. Maybe we dress it up a little differently, make it a little pretty or a little more tragic. But it's pretty much familiar business, isn't it? And we know that this is not Zazen. It's a kind of a habitual song we sing to ourselves. A highway we drive down with the same familiar signs. Go this way, we'll go that way. It is, you know, the human way to deal with this wild and uncharted nature of reality. It's we create these systems. But our habit is so strong that we create these systems, and these systems are created out of our conditioning, you know, the good and the bad, what we choose to see, how we choose to tell that story to ourselves. So rather than shifting into a spacious quality of mind, we filter things through things we know. Or we think we know. And Zazen is the way to free ourselves from that systematic filter that we create. It doesn't teach us anything new. It doesn't help us to cope with the terrorism of our lives. What is this Zazen practice we're doing today, if not a rehearsal of our past thoughts. Samadhi, concentration, focus. That is what gives us this ability to enter into a new reality, to see things freshly. So samadhi is, you know, as I've been talking about in the past few weeks, the eighth limb of the Eightfold Path. Right concentration is the way it's typically translated, but the word actually is samadhi. It's a quality of absorption. Concentration is a good translation because it's a kind of quality of distilling. In the original roots, it's like pulling together, bringing together all the elements. It's a kind of potentiality we create when we drop all the chatter. We often say we enter samadhi as it's a space, an enclosure, a place that we go into, this samadhi. It's safe space. And I see it as a quality of restoring ourselves to who we really are, to really recognizing who we are. I should offer this to Shubha, my tea. A few weeks ago, it was Mother's Day, and I talked about samadhi in relationship to the qualities that we associate with mother. Or I should say mothering, not maybe your specific mother, but the quality of mothering. That's soothing, holding, feeding, that reassuring touch or gaze that we associate with the energy of a mother. And so there is a quality of samadhi which does hold us in that way and protect us from our skittering minds as they kind of slide here and there. There's this kind of holding quality of samadhi. Hold us enough so that we can enter the what they call the Dharma gate of ease and joy. We'll be reading Huangshi this summer during Ango, and it was from his writing about the Dharma Gate of Ease and Joy that Dogen brought that phrase into Fukan Zazengi. But, you know, tomorrow is Father's Day. So naturally I'm stretching and reaching for a connection since my last Dharma talk was on Mother's Day. You know, it's important to also to love and honor that father energy, that quality of fatherness, without whom none of us would exist. And no matter what our individual fathers may or may not have fitted into the archetype, there is a quality of fatherness, something that we also can appreciate and also helps us in samadhi. And, you know, nowadays when everything that is socially constructed is shifting, I was like afraid to talk about fathers. But then I thought about myself. I was a single parent. So there were times when I was a soothing mother. And there were times when I was the father that was demanding accountability. Because that's the way it is. And the fathers who are single parents are very soothing and also demanding accountability. So I just kind of wanted to put that flag out there before someone stopped listening to me entirely. So this kind of quality of responsibility, of physical protection that we associate with the archetype, but also discipline and rigor and ability to the energy to deal with the external world are qualities we think of as fathering qualities that help the child deal with the external world. And perhaps today, when you were sitting, you may have become aware that it's not so easy for you to let go of your thoughts. It's not so easy to enter into this Dharma gate of ease and joy, this samadhi. It's something that requires a certain discipline. Hongxi says, and I mentioned before, Hongxi is whom we're going to be studying this summer in the, what's the name of the text? Cultivating the Empty Field. He wrote, "You must purify, cure, grind down, or brush away all the tendencies you have fabricated into apparent habits. Then you can reside in the clear circle of brightness." Then he says, "To gain such steadiness, you must completely withdraw from the invisible pounding and weaving of your ingrained ideas. If you want to be rid of this invisible turmoil, you must just sit through it and let go of everything." Just sit through it and let go of everything. We have to do, as he says, this grind down and brush away our habits. And to do that, we have to call up in ourselves some of these qualities I'm associating with the Father. They exist in each of us. Responsibility to ourselves. Sense of rigor, discipline, to train our minds so that we can be free. That man in Charleston was not free from his mind. He was influenced by the culture there, the white culture there. There's a lot of, in that part of the South, there are some incredibly fascistic groups that feed on young people and every age people who have no discipline in their minds to discern what is real. Discipline is so important. It's important in our simple, prayerful practice of Zazen. And we strengthen our muscle, our discipline, by doing it. Each time we say, "Oh, I'm thinking about grocery shopping. That's one of the things I think about in Zazen. I'll get this and I'll get that. Then I'll go over there. Oops. So it's not that everybody who sits down and faces the wall, including the seniors, the teachers, that immediately there is like 2 hours of solid samadhi. But if there's a few minutes of solid samadhi, that's what we call in Zen a mitzvah. Appreciate it. Huh? We need to grind down, as Hongxi says, our repetitive thoughts, our obsessing and our daydreaming. And I know in my case in particular, I have a habitual way of seeing the world and the structures in our society. I have a habitual way of seeing them and criticizing them, which is not very creative. What is much more creative is to drop that narrative, sit in an open space, and then the next time these issues come up, be fresh and alive to them, rather than the old rhetoric that surfaces even during Zazen. So we do call on these qualities of discipline, which we don't talk about as much here in this Zendo. We tend to be a little soft, but the discipline is really important. And the self-accountability. What am I doing? And this helps us let go of our habitual ways of meeting reality. So I do think of these qualities as those of the father archetype, the one who teaches us how to do things, how to work in the external world, how to protect ourselves. So I think of the mother archetype as the holding and protecting in this way, and the father archetype is the holding and protecting by saying, stand straight, go straight. That kind of protection. Teaching the child to protect oneself. These are what we need for our samadhi. And if we fail to take a stand and monitor ourselves, you know, we can sit for years. And I must say that at least half of the koan stories that we have are about people who have entered a monastery and just daydream or sleep on their cushions and are not present to their lives. That's what all the stories are about. They're just going, wake up, right? And that's why we're here, is to wake up. Hongxi says, many lifetimes of misunderstanding come only from distrust, hindrance, and screens of confusion that we create in a scenario of isolation. Lifetimes of misunderstanding come only from distrust, hindrance, and screens of confusion that we create in a scenario of isolation. Then he goes on, with boundless wisdom, journey beyond this, forgetting accomplishments. Straightforwardly abandon stratagems and take on responsibility. Having turned yourself around, accepting your situation, if you set foot on the path, spiritual energy will marvelously transport you. So not to linger in our suffering is the first part of what he's saying. Distrust and that hindrance and that staying, lingering in that dark, moody place of suffering. nor in guilt or shame. Meet it, acknowledge it, take a breath, and enter a more spacious gate. Those are repetitive old ways of thinking, not this moment presence. So this is good for our internal life, but it's also about how we are in the world, how we function in the world. Are we dragging our old habitual ways into this moment where you're in community or on the street or where you work? Are you able to liberate yourself from those habit, scrim of habit? So I'd like to talk about samadhi, but I'm not just talking about some esoteric jhana, some esoteric shelf in the mind. I'm talking about here in our lives. There's a koan, a little story from the Blue Cliff Record about Yunmen, this wonderfully energetic father figure of a Zen master. And the name of the koan is Yunmen's Every Atom Samadhi. It's very short. A monk asked Yunmen, "What is every atom samadhi?" And Men said, "Food in the bowl, water in the bucket." So the question, you know, what is complete and utter samadhi? The question actually comes from the Avatamsaka Sutra. And we'll read that sometime. It's just like 2,000 pages. We haven't studied it in a while, but we will. But there's a line in there that is one of my favorite lines. Entering in concentration on a single atom, one attains concentration on all atoms without that atom expanding. Read it again. Entering in concentration, or entering in samadhi, on a single atom, one attains concentration, or samadhi, on all atoms without that atom expanding. I once had a Zen student who was very intellectual. He was a scientist. And I gave him that line as his koan for the entire 10 years he studied with me. Just that one line. Entering in concentration on a single atom, one attains concentration on all atoms without that atom expanding. So the samadhi that you are practicing is not just your personal samadhi, but your state of mind is integral to the state of the entire world right now. That is the teaching of Avatamsaka Sutra and the teaching of this koan. And it may not only be right now. Maybe it has to do with the past and the future. Your practice today, here, has to do with the past and the future, as well as the entire world. Read that Avatamsaka Sutra sometime. So today's samadhi is reflected in everything around you. In the water that's trickling down from the Adirondacks to our faucets here so we can make coffee. To the details of the Trans-Pacific Trade Pact. The amount of methane and CO2 right here. Every single atom is reflected in every atom. Charleston is right here for many of us. This is the truth of samadhi. This is the joy of samadhi. It is a responsibility that we get from our samadhi. When you really go there and you reach into your own heart and mind, use those qualities of samadhi, of concentration that, you know, I've been saying are the mother and the father. The mother soothes you. The father says you're accountable. Then we can enter that bright light of illumination Hongxi talks about, that Dharma gate of joy and ease that Dogen talks about. It is the union of peace and action. Mother and father. Food in the bowl nourishes life. Water in the bucket stewards this planet. Samadhi and art. Ordinary life or not too, and we know it so well here at the Zendo. We sit all day and then we walk down outside onto Broadway where people are rushing back and forth, many filled with tension, suffering, greed, anger, and ignorance. You can't avoid it here on Broadway. Our practice is to free ourselves enough so that we can skillfully engage what is happening here in our lives. So we can do it skillfully, open-heartedly. Our time in the world is actually very small. I think nowadays, you know, most people live to be about 100. In this part of the world, as opposed to 30 in other parts of the world. But it's a short amount of time to be able to offer support and wholesomeness, compassion and love. Samadhi is what helps us do that. That's why we're here. And I appreciate that you're here to do that. I'll end with a gatha. We face the wall, looking in, and we look out. Our anger fades. Our despair turns. The clouds retreat. The air is clear. Rolling up our sleeves, we step out into our work. Service, joy, and ease around us.